Hi everyone, hope you're all doing well. You're very welcome to this week's video sermon. Let's start by praying and asking for God's help as we look at his word together. Father, we pray for help as we look at your word. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would teach us and encourage us as we're in our homes, that Lord, as we long to be together, we pray for your help, that you would teach us from your word now as we listen and as we engage with the Bible. Please help us, Father. Lord, send your Spirit to open our eyes and open our hearts so that we would learn more about you and who you are. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're thinking about another name for God. We're thinking about the name Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. And we find this name in a very well-known story, and Paul is going to read it for us from Genesis chapter 22.
Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," he replied. "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When Abraham reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood in it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son." Abraham looked up there and saw in the thicket a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. He said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Have you ever faced an impossible task? Something so difficult or challenging that it seemed like there was no answer? There was no solution? Maybe you're feeling a bit like that at the moment. That something is happening in your life right now and it seems like it's impossible. On a much more light-hearted note, does anyone still do Sudokus? They can be pretty impossible. And in fact, there are some that don't even have a solution. Here's one. I might post it later in the comments if you fancy having a go yourself, but I'll show you how fast I can solve it. Easy. Or did you ever play that game, that really annoying game called the Impossible Quiz? This was an infuriating game that almost made no sense at times and is completely impossible to complete first time round. Or if we're thinking about real life, maybe the impossible situation that you're facing is that you've just discovered that your hours are going to be decreased at work, or your contract is due to finish early, but your monthly expenses aren't changing? How do we face into challenging circumstances that seem impossible? Because these are times where faith is tested. If you've just finished exams, you had to do the exams to prove that you knew the subject. It wasn't enough just to take part in the classes or to read the textbook. You had to take a test to prove that you really did know that subject. And that's what's happening in challenging circumstances for us as Christians. Our faith gets tested. We may go with the flow and trust in God when things are going well and life is working out quite nicely. But when hard circumstances come along, our faith in God is tested. Our faith in his promises, our faith in who he is, and hopefully it's proved to be real. And this is what our passage is about today, where we see a man's faith being tested. And it will help us in thinking how we might respond when we face impossible circumstances. So we see at the very beginning of this chapter that God tested Abraham. We see that in the very first verse. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. So we've met Abraham already, but let's quickly catch up. Abraham was an old man who God had promised would have many descendants. He'd be made into a great nation, and through whom all nations on earth would be blessed. And this blessing would come through a son. But Abraham agreed it would be best if they helped God's timing along, sped things up, because they wanted it to happen faster. And so Ishmael was born to Abraham's servant Hagar. But that wasn't the son of the promise. Well, lo and behold, Sarah, Abraham's wife, who was barren, she gave birth to a son, to Isaac. And he was the one through whom the promises that God had given to Abraham would come. He represented these promises that God had given. But now Abraham faces an impossible task. God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. The son that God had given to fulfill his promises was now to be given up. And Abraham's response was obedience. In the face of impossible circumstances, Abraham responded in obedience to God. He did what God asked of him. Now, there's so much going on. What do you mean God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son? And we're not going to get into all of the nitty-gritty details right now, but for us, we can be 100% sure that this command was a unique, one-time, never-to-be-repeated, never-to-be-fulfilled command from God to Abraham. God does not want us to sacrifice our children. He never did. He never will. He hates that kind of practice. But yet God gave this command to Abraham, and Abraham obeys. This is the test that Abraham is facing from God. So they journey together to Moriah. They bring the wood, the fire, the knife, the cords to bind Isaac. And Abraham built an altar and laid Isaac on top. This was an impossible test. What are the circumstances for you that seem impossible right now? Maybe you're faced with isolation, not just because of coronavirus, but because friends have left you out of their group because you're a Christian. You don't get messages from them. You won't get asked to meet up with them again. They won't hang out, because you've made it clear that you follow Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, how am I going to get through the rest of school or college like this? How am I going to get through another week of work with no colleagues who I can call my friends? Maybe it's an impossible task for you. Well, God is calling us to obedience in the midst of impossible circumstances. He's not promising that everything will get better right now. He's not saying that the new job is going to come along right away, or you're going to get a brand new gang of friends next week. But he's calling us to obedience, to obey him. Have you struggled to obey his calling during these difficult days? Have you struggled to obey him? Maybe it's his command to love others or to pray. Maybe it's to read his word. Why don't you take just a minute to reflect on how we need to obey him more and seek his forgiveness for those ways in which we don't obey him? So we see Abraham's obedience in the face of impossible circumstances. But obedience will only last if it is driven by faith. We get glimpses of Abraham's faith through the story. Look at verse 5. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Look at verse 8. Abraham answered his son Isaac, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews gives us an even greater insight in that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. That's in Hebrews 11. Abraham acted in a way that obeyed God, but was confident in God's ways, confident that God would provide, confident even that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. The obedience of Abraham demonstrated his faith in God. And obedience will only last if it is driven by faith. Well, do you know what is not driven by faith? Your car. That's driven by an engine. An engine which is filled with petrol or diesel, or if you have an electric car, a big battery that's connected to the wheels. It's the engine that drives the car forward, giving power to the wheels. Without the right engine and fuel, our cars wouldn't move. They would just be useless. So with obedience, it is useless without faith. Faith is what needs to drive obedience. Obedience as a duty, or as a legal requirement, or as just getting some sort of right feeling, is certain to fail. Obedience can only endure, can only survive, when it is driven by faith. Faith in the promises of God, in who he is and what he has done. For Abraham, that meant faith that even though God was asking him to give up the promises that were represented in his son, that God would still come true on his word, that God would still fulfill those promises. Are you someone who looks to obey God, to live for him? What's your motivation behind that obedience? Is it to gain a good reputation? Or is it to keep up appearances? Maybe you just feel like, well, I must do something to put things right with God. Well, our obedience must be driven by and start with faith in this powerful, providing God. And that's how obedience becomes a joy, not a duty. And when it's empowered by the Spirit, not by our own determination, when we have faith in this wonderful God, who we'll come to see is a God who provides. But take a minute to think, what is driving your obedience? So obedience in the face of impossible circumstances must be driven by faith in the Lord who provides. Maybe you thought that we'd forgotten about the name, that we weren't going to get there. Well, obedience and faith will only last if our trust is in the right place, in Yahweh Yireh. And this is the name that Abraham uses for the place of the sacrifice, Yahweh Yireh. Or you might know the name as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Last week, Martin explained about the name El Olam, the eternal God. This speaks of God's long-term, enduring character and involvement. God is looking after the long term. He's eternal. He is without beginning and without end. Well, as we think about Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide, this name helps us to see that God is not just in the long term plans, but he's also in the short term details. Maybe you know that phrase, the devil is in the details. Government formation is getting closer and closer, hopefully. And different parties are trying to work together to figure out how the big promises that were made can actually be made into a plan for government. And then how these plans can actually work out and be a reality and have a functioning government. And it's not the big promises that are slowing down the negotiations. It's the how of those plans that are making things slow. We could say the devil is in the details. Well, Yahweh Yireh is a God of the details. He looks after present needs. And it's Abraham who gives this place this name, Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. Why that name? Well, the altar was built, Isaac was bound, the knife was in hand. And look at verse 11. The angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. The Lord stepped in and stopped the sacrifice. That was enough. God saw that Abraham feared him because he did not withhold his son. This test that God was giving to Abraham was showing that Abraham feared God. He really trusted him. He really believed him that when God made a promise, even though he was being asked to give up his son, who represented those promises, he trusted that God would come good on his word. He feared God. The Lord provided a substitute. Instead of Isaac, Abraham looked up and he saw a ram, and he sacrificed the ram instead of his son. The Lord provided, and that's why Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. While there are many impossible circumstances that we may face in our lives, or are facing right now, there's one actually that is so impossible, there is no way of overcoming it ourselves. Think for a second about our deepest need. That is our need for God. Our purpose of being with him and living for him. And when we think about the fact that God is real and he is holy and he takes sin so seriously, because while this is our greatest need to be with him, there's a stark reality that we can't approach God. He is holy and powerful and cannot tolerate sin. So going to God on our own is just impossible. It's a Grand Canyon that's so great, or a great ocean that's so wide, a distance that is so far that simply cannot be traveled. It is impossible to reach God. How can we draw near to him? Only if he provides a way. But we have great hope and such great news. Because this is not just the God that provided for Abraham. He is the God who provides for us. The Lord provided a substitute. Instead of us, Jesus took our place. Because our decisions to do things our way, we deserve to be completely separated from God. Death, not just in a physical way, but death in a spiritual and eternal way. But if we look, we won't see a ram in a thicket. We'll see a lamb on a cross. Jesus died on a cross in our place to bring us to God. He traversed that canyon. He crossed that great river. He traveled the distance so that we could be with God for all eternity. And this is how God would bless all nations. We see in verse 18, towards the end of this section, that through your offspring, the Lord says, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. That this blessing was going to come to all nations, and it's through Jesus that this blessing comes. This is the great provision from Yahweh. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide, and this is his greatest provision, his son Jesus. And remember, this is Yahweh Yireh, the God not just of the big things, but the details, the present details as well. In the midst of impossible circumstances that we face, he calls us to obedience, driven by faith in the Lord who will provide. He provides for our daily needs as well. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 6. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Or these words in Philippians chapter 4. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord provides for all our needs. He looks after the details of our lives. He's done what needed to happen so that we can be with him. He's provided that substitute in Jesus so that we can come to him and be with him for eternity. And he looks after our day-to-day lives. He provides all that we have. But this daily provision does not always come as we think or expect. I'm sure Abraham would not have planned to sacrifice his son Isaac, who the promises of God were going to be fulfilled through. And I'm sure we would not have planned for the Savior and King to be put to death on a cross. I'm sure we wouldn't have planned many things that have happened to us in life. Yet God is providing through it all because he is Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who provides. And we can trust him in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Not necessarily to remove the difficulty, but to be present with us, to provide for what we need to live for him. And ultimately, he's provided Jesus so that we can be with him, where there'll be no more difficulties, no more impossible tasks, no unsolvable Sudokus, only an eternity to enjoy his wonderful gifts and to enjoy the Lord himself who provides. So as we face into difficult or even impossible circumstances in the coming weeks, let's be people who respond with obedience, obedience that is driven by faith in the Lord who provides. The way of faith that is tested by impossible circumstances continues to reveal the genuineness of God's servants and to bring glory to Him. So we can trust in the Lord's provision to us, that it is good, that it is what we need, and that Jesus is the way to knowing this God who provides. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who provides for us. We thank you for the many blessings that we have in our lives, that as we look around, we see all these good gifts that you have provided to us. And Lord, we thank you that this story points us to the way in which you have provided for our deepest need, that you have sent your own Son, Jesus, to take our place and to provide a way that we can be with you forever. We thank you, Lord, for how you have revealed yourself to us as the God who provides. Help us, Lord, to respond in obedience in those difficult circumstances. Help us to respond in obedience that's driven by faith in you, Lord, the one who provides. And Father, we pray that the way we respond would bring you glory. And we pray that you'd help us to face those circumstances that we wish were gone, that we wish were finished. Please teach us and help us. We thank you for your word and that you're the God who provides. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.